unfortunate what happened today. It's really unfortunate. But I think we are ready to proceed. Or do we need trauma counseling? Honorable Korai.
I'm just proposing, Chair, if the administration can assist us with the documents. They are now our puzzles here. We have wanted to put them in a good order. If they can assist us to have others that are not here.
Can we assist each other also?
Madam Chair, my colleague is not here, so I just need to locate my colleague and I don't have any documentation in front of me then, so it's also disappeared. So give me a few minutes, so I'll just give him a call.
Thank you. We're still waiting for the DA Joel.
Can you call the parent?
We do call the parent. We are sitting. That's one piece of paper that's available. That is the A B.
I'm going to cook one. I'm going to cook one.
Are we all sorted, members, in terms of the documents?
For the labor machine.
Yeah. And the others? Not yet. But let's finish then with the LRA. Are we in agreement?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, let's start again, honorable members. We're going clause by clause. Again, clause 1 is amended, agreed to. DM, can you proceed?
Yes, thank you, Chair. As I was saying, when I was rudely interrupted, I thought we could simplify matters in complying with the relevant rule relating to a part or a person opposing any of the clauses by advising that they simply indicate just the basis without arguing and debating the matter. Because in my understanding, for instance, the basis for the objection of the TA to clause 1 is that they maintain that it is going to be oppressive on the minorities. For instance, workers who are not in unions, who are in the minority, even if they are in unions, in a bargaining situation. And also, the small employer, small businesses, will suffer because the majority of organized business might take decisions that may favor them, that they can afford. I think if two or three lines along those lines would be enough without the objecting party having to write a tome of documents amounting to 5. It doesn't even have to be more than one paragraph at most, just to indicate that you object because it's going to undermine the interests of the small business and also of workers who are not unionized. So in that way, therefore, we will be able to take the, we'll take us through the bill clause by clause, and then at the end, when the report is being formulated, it will just indicate that in, with respect to clause 1, the DA objected on this basis.
There's a proposal on the table. Honorable America.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think that sounds very plausible, I think, first, but I think it is much more than that. I think that in terms of clause 1, although those are elements of our objection, but there's more to that, and I think that perhaps if we ought to articulate our objections, then certainly it can be captured as such. So can I proceed with that? With the reasons why I object to clause 1. Madam Chair, we don't object to all the sort of subsections of clause 1, but certainly subsection 1A in particular where Section 2 enables bargaining councils to and the minister to extend agreements within a specified date, number of days, to parties who were not agreement, not party to that agreement. Now, what the deputy minister has stated is correct. It will have a negative impact on small businesses in particular. It will have a negative impact on employees who are not unionized. But most importantly, a principal objection is that one needs to consider it in the context of the recommendations of the presidential high-level report that was issued by ex-president Mitlante, where he specifically refers to clause 32, whereby he says by extending bargaining council agreements to non-parties, it has a negative impact on small businesses and thus inhibit economic growth and the creation of jobs. So if we are serious about reports that we have sort of initiated by this parliament, then we need to consider that recommendation, because we never, as a committee, we never had opportunity to interrogate the content of that report. And one of the purposes of the establishment of that process was precisely to look at legislation that had unintentional consequences for economic growth and job creation. And it is our belief that particularly Section 32, the extension of these non-agreements and non-parties, should, you know, seriously be reconsidered. But more so, if that is not possible, then certainly we need to, as a committee, was departed with the assistance of the department, look at how bargaining councils are constituted. And perhaps there's a structural deficiency in the composition of bargaining council, so that we could provide a much broader sort of participation of parties that, or sectors that has a direct interest in the operations of the bargaining council. So for those reasons, we don't object to all the subsections, but we object to the subsection in particular whereby agreements between big business and big unions are extended to small businesses, members who are not party to any of those unions. And that's my input, doesn't it? My colleague wants to add to it.
Thank you, Honourable America. Honourable Baker.
Thank you. I apologize. I went away and I put the post up in my office. I don't seem to have got my papers back. But I understand. I don't think this is the one. Yeah. I won't add to it, but I undertake to give something in writing, as I had said. I'm happy to supply that, because I'm not so sure we should be actually taking all the substantive responses from each clause. There are about four or five that we will be opposing. I think the majority we meet reasonably happy with. I'm happy to give it to Mr. Zakasa by Friday in writing and properly collate it so that... Otherwise, this is going to take hours. So I'm happy to do that.
Honorable America, it's just that Honorable Baker was not present when the DM spoke, and just filling in because it seems as if we backtracking now a little bit.
Now I was present. Okay. I was present when the
DM just spoke.
Okay, because his suggestion was earlier that we would give it in writing.
Can the DM just summarize what he just said?
See, Mr. Bakrain, I was interrupted while I was saying it won't be necessary, shouldn't be necessary for you to write 5 pages or even a page to indicate the reason for your objecting to a particular clause or subclause. For instance, because you are objecting because you are concerned about the effect of a decision on small business and also on ununionized workers. So that should take about 2 sentences. The first one relating to small business, the second one relating to workers.
Yes.
So that shouldn't require you to do that on Friday. In fact, the Sagasa can just record that and then include it in the report.
Are we in agreement?
The debate, Mr. Shepherdson, will continue. They can expand when the report is presented to Parliament.
Yeah. Do you have wording there, Honourable Mr. Sakasa?
Yes, sir.
I've just noted that the Democratic Alliance objects to subsection 1A, as it would have a negative impact on small business and non-union workers. I've just put it like that. If the committee agrees, I'm going to put it like that in the report. Thank you, Chair.
Are we in agreement? That's the gist? Then.
Thank you, yes, and thank you for the Deputy Minister for that. It saves me a lot of time and trouble. We probably don't have to have a full expansive reason, and I'm happy with that, and I'm stand by that.
So we are in agreement. As we move forward, it can be done in that manner. Mm-hmm. Honourable Begram, you agree? Okay. So with that explanation, we are then in agreement on clause 1. It's agreed to?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. Clause 2, as introduced, agreed to? Can you put it on the record, members?
Yes, Chair, we are in agreement.
Is that the majority view or the unanimous view?
Unanimous.
Thank you, unanimous view, agreed to. Clause 3, as amended, agreed to. Can we put it on the record whether we agree or not?
Chair, so just clarity from the legal people is that are we speaking about 1 year or 2 years, which is the correct one that we agreed to?
Remember, we are not on the A list anymore, ne? We are on the B bill. The one that's underlined in the B bill, that's the correct version, the new version. Are we in par? It's B32.
She says that each 2 years on the bullet introduced as well, and on the B bill, so they can look at the bullet introduced.
So we are in agreement. Is it unanimous? Agreed to. Clause 4, as introduced, agreed to. you put it on the record, honourable members?
Yes, Chair, we're in agreement. If they disagree, there will be an
agreed to?
Clause 4? It doesn't seem as if we on the same page. Honourable America, clause 4. As introduced, agreed to? Yes. Is that unanimous? Agreed to. Clause 5? As introduced, agreed to? Honourable Mashile?
I just need assistance, Chair. The assistance I require is that we pass the A list, which are the amendments.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the amendments have been inserted in 32B. Why are we approving clauses of 32 as introduced?
Can you
because I thought we should be looking at 32B, which should be incorporating the new amendments.
32B contains the new amendments, contains the A-list, contains the combined things, but the bill is introduced, the A-list adds those additional amendments, so it's amendments proposed by the committee in the A-list, and then this will be the bill, the B-bill will be the bill agreed to, so the A-list doesn't contain all the clauses in the bill, only the amendments that's proposed to some of the clauses. So therefore the chairperson is voting now on the B bill, which would be all the clauses of the bill as introduced together with the new amendments as proposed by this committee.
Okay, do we understand now?
The explanation is not clear to me. Remember at the moment we are...
Can we please?
Maybe Mr. Sakansa will...
Yeah, I just want them to understand my challenge.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that the Bill 32, it is as introduced by the department. Then we have made amendments, we have produced the A-list. And those amendments now must come to, they are incorporated in 32B. In other words, now the clause by clause that should be going, should be on 32B. Not on 32 as introduced. We should be approving the clauses on 32B, which is actually including the new amendment. That's assistance where I wanted to get.
Thank you, Chair. I don't disagree with that in terms of what the members are saying, but the report always mentions that the B32, which was referred to the committee, is this one, and then the committee came up with a B32A, which is the amendment. Now, those amendments, as Honourable Mashile is saying, they have been incorporated in the B bill. But the bill that was referred to the committee, that the committee is going to adopt, is not the B bill. The B bill is the product of the... So when the report is sent, it must say that the committee, having considered the contents of 32 and then accept or adopt this report with amendment 32A. So, of course, the 32B is the end product, but 32B was never referred to the committee. So the committee is having 32A and 32 to see whether this amendment goes. For instance, some of the clauses will be new, so they are in the 32A list, but they will be adopted as the amendment. So the report will go with 32A. As an attachment on the report, that the committee has adopted 32 as was referred with the amendments 32A. But for ease of reference, I think I understand the Honourable Mashile will say, because now they have been adopted, effected into the 32B. But now it's neither here nor there, but the bill that will be adopted is 32 as was referred with amendments 32A. I don't know whether it's right.
So, So are we in agreement then that we'll refer then to the bill as amended then?
To be the bullet introduced with the A-list. The B-bill is basically for ease of reference so they can see what the final product is. So then this is a bill that was referred, the bill is introduced, was referred to the committee. So the committee will vote they agree on these things, but the clauses in the A-list, they will say we agree on these amendments together with this proposed amendment. So this will go hand in hand, but the B-bill is more for ease of reference so they can see how it will look at the end.
Are we clear now, members? So clause 4, clause 5, as introduced with amendments agreed to? Agreed. Clause 6 as introduced with amendments agreed to? Agreed. Clause 7 as introduced with amendments agreed to? Honorable Begram? Can you speak to the mic, please?
A panel appointed by the Essential Services Committee may in the prescribed manner vary or cancel the designation or all of the part of the maintenance.
Can you move the mic closer, please?
In essence, we'd like to see some sort of regulation beforehand to see how this actually works, because at the moment it's leaving it completely open to the panel. So we'd like to give them either put a regulation to it or make it give some rules as to how they would do that.
Honorable Mashile.
I think we just need to raise the matter that regulations are the product of an approved bill. Until this bill is approved, I mean, how do you make regulations? Because regulations are made in order to implement the provisions of an act. Therefore, all what is required is that if Honorable Bahrain has got reservations about the provision in the bill, then he must put an eagle's eye on that provision, and when the regulations come, he must make sure that the regulation speaks to what he wants to see.
He
can't hold the provision in the Act to wait for the regulations. I think it doesn't work that way.
I think we've discussed this matter several times before, and we were in agreement that we can't deal with issues that's supposed to be in the regulation to be included in the bill. Are we on par, Honorable Begram?
No, we're not. I'm happy to say we can wait. You're not going to wait for the regulations, but then change the subclause 8 to say that there must be agreement between the employer and the registered trade union.
Honorable Mashile?
Yeah, Chair, I think we should not entertain the proposal that Honorable Bahrain is making, because we have discussed, we have actually reached a conclusion how this must be amended. At the moment, he has got only options of saying we don't agree with this, we are not supporting it, or we are supporting it. He can't propose new changes now.
Okay, agreed.
Are we then in agreement then that form part of the minority vote, that clause 7? Okay. Yeah, so you are objecting to that one?
Yes.
Based on?
We've just been told I mustn't give reasons.
No.
I've just given reasons, but you cut me short.
remember, it's the same process as we did with one. It's the same. In the previous process, we said, no, we'll wait until we are here for the reasons. So what we just indicated in one is, can we limit or shorten the reasons?
Okay, thank you. I did give it. I just gave you the shortened reason.
Okay. Can you repeat it?
I'm saying it should be an agreement between the registered employer and the registered trade union.
Can you repeat that, Honourable Begum?
It should be an agreement between the employer and the trade union.
Honourable Begum, you indicated that's your proposal, but can you substantiate that proposal?
Yeah,
so
sure.
That the committee can agree whether they're going to accept it or not.
The substantiation is that I'm not happy just to leave it to regulations, because we don't know what's going to be in the regulations, and we can't tell because we're going to wait for, after we've passed it, for the regulations to come in. We'll have no say on the regulations. The minister and her staff put the regulations together. So the only way we're going to have some sort of say is at this level over here. And if we want to have some say on it, then I'm not agreeing to it. Thanks.
DM?
Just a question to understand, Mr. Hussein Chepesing. So that means the DA in principle is opposed to the idea of an act providing for regulations to be adopted afterwards by the minister. Because that is how acts, as was explained by Mr. Mashile, they operate. You come up with an act and then you formulate regulations that are going to assist in the implementation of the act. Now if you say then that you don't know what the regulations are going to contain, therefore you don't accept such a provision in an act, does that mean, as a principle, the DA is opposed to the idea of regulation?
Honorable.
Because I thought, Chair, he was going to indicate why it is wrong for the panel, to operate in terms of regulations that will have been prescribed. Now, for him to say it is because we don't know what the content of those regulations is going to be, then you cannot accept it. I wouldn't understand that reasoning.
Honourable Begum.
Thank you. I'm not opposed to the minister putting regulations, but that's why we have legislation. We have legislation because it guides the ministers what the regulations will be. If you've got completely open-ended legislation, then the minister can effectively legislate to rule it herself. And I'm not happy with that. I'm very happy that the minister will put in regulations. The ministers on all pieces of legislation put regulations together. Those regulations follow on to what the legislation is. And if the legislation is going to be open-ended or fuzzy, then it leaves more ability to the minister to regulate whatever he or she wants. And that's why you do that. But I'm obviously in the minority, and I understand that. Thanks.
What do you think? So the committee must agree whether we're going to put that explanation in the report, in the committee report. Can we ask the secretary to?
Thank you, Chair. I've captured that the DA objects that there should be an agreement between the employer and the trade union.
That's all.
That's all I have.
So we agree that it can be proceeded like that. Okay. Agreed to. Clause 8, as amended, agreed to?
Yes.
unanimously agreed to. Clause 9 as amended agreed to. Unanimously agreed to. Clause 10 as amended agreed to. Unanimously agreed to. Clause 11 as amended agreed to. Unanimously agreed to. Clause 12 as amended agreed to. Unanimously agreed to. Clause 13 as amended agreed to. Honorable Bagram.
The accreditation itself has created all sorts of problems, and we should actually put together in the legislation a structure of how you accredit. I don't believe this is left very open again. You will remember that some of the agencies came forward and made submissions as to the accreditation process. Thank you.
Honorable Begum, can you move the mic closer and repeat what you've just said?
Yeah, I'm normally quite loud. I don't know why it's not coming out. I said that the accreditation process should be more structured, because this is leaving the accreditation process up to the governing body entirely. And we must give the governing body some more outline as to how they would accredit.
Do we agree on that wording to be included in the minority report? Honorable America and then Honorable Mashile.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just saying that we need to add that the power is provided by the governing body of the CCMA to approve panelists for bargaining councils. And we know that there are bargaining councils who are quite capable of appointing competent panelists for the sort of councils or the organizations. And the difficulty that might arise, and I understand the motivation of the CCMA, is to ensure that a certain quality of panelists are being appointed. But we should, provide that sort of scope or that autonomy to bargaining councils, and the governing body can possibly just be this evaluation sort of party to it, just to ensure that panelists that are being appointed are incompetent and not be the actual appointing body. For that matter, but it's a quality assurance in terms of the competency of the panelists. That's our submission.
Did you get that, Mr. Sapasa? Doesn't seem so. Can we have a shorter version, please?
The short version, Mr. Sapasa, is that autonomy should be provided to bargaining councils and dispute resolution bodies to appoint their own panelists, but the CCMA could be the quality assurance, the governing body of the CCMA could be the quality assurance sort of structure to ensure that those panelists are indeed competent to adjudicate matters in those councils. Is that short enough?
Do you have it, Mr.
Sakata? I feel like it's the same proposal from Bahrain, the structuring of the accreditation processes. So I don't know if they can agree on that sentence to say the accreditation process to be more structured, and that's it. This is the structural processes that they're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Honorable Mashile?
No, Chair, it's... What I'm understanding is that the proposal that is being made talks to actually giving the councils some autonomy instead of giving the governing body. But surely what is in here, what has been provided here, it allows the councils to actually inform the prescribed form that is required for accreditation. And those councils themselves that are, will actually be in the lead of what form of form is this this accreditation is going to be done. And it is not necessarily different from what they are proposing. It's not different.
So can we get the final from the DA then?
Yeah, the final is we stand by our objection, because if you go on to clauses 14 and 15, we'll have similar objections there. But the governing body can withdraw accreditation of any individual in due course. So it's the same objection to 14 and 15. Thank you.
Okay, so we saying that clause 13 as amended, agreed to, but taking into consideration the view of the DA also. Thank you. Agreed to? Yes. Clause 14, is it the same? Agreed to? With the same reservation from the DA as previously? Agreed to. Clause 15, as introduced, agreed to? Agreed to with the same reservation from the DA as previously. Clause 16, as amended, agreed to? Yes, unanimously agreed to. Clause 17, as introduced, agreed to? So remember, when we look at clause, between clause 14 and 15, there's actually a new clause, and we haven't touched that one. So in terms of that new clause, after clause 14, do we agree to it? Unanimously agree to new clause.
Not the one that we agreed on the 18th.
Yes, but we have to go close by close with it. We've already agreed to it in the A list. So we are on point 7 to me. Clause 17. Clause 17 as introduced, agreed to unanimously, agreed to. Clause 18 as introduced, agreed to, unanimously agreed to. Clause 19 as introduced, agreed to, unanimously agreed to. Thank you very much. Now, honourable members, I'm submitting to you now the entire Labor Relations Amendment Bill B327/2017. Do we agree to it in its entirety? Were these reservations been tabled or recorded? Do we agree to it? Unanimously agree to it. Thank you. Yes.
Thank you.
We are done with that one. Can we then go to the basic conditions?
Another one.
Do we have all the documents in terms of the BCA? So the two documents that we need now is B30A and B30S introduced. Do we have it in front of us, members? So can we proceed with a clause by clause on that one? The A list first. We must remember we finalized also our amendments last week, and we just going through the A-list to see if our amendments has been affected. We'll give to legal to take us through, please.
Thank you, Chairperson. Portfolio Committee Amendments to Basic Conditions of Employment Amendment Bill. It's B38-2017. That's the document that I'm looking at. On page 2, agreed amendment. In clause 1, Chairperson, as presented last week, is to the intention to, is to insert a definition of commission in the bill. And there was no objections to this one. So I'm not sure in terms of process whether I should read throughout all the clauses or just go through those which were put on hold for reconsideration for progress.
I think we go to those that we've reconsidered, because the other ones we've all already agreed on. Only those that we didn't agree last week on that needed to be amended. Are we on par, members?
Yes.
In agreement? Yes. Can you focus on those ones then?
Thanks, Chairperson. Those ones were in three issues, which is on page 3 of the document. Page 3 of the document, clause 7, amendment of section 54. Those were the new clauses, Chairperson, if you recall. It's on page 3 of the document.
Honorable Mashile?
Yeah, Chair, I think it's, I think we have, I'm in agreement with the new version. But on the same page 3, right at the top, on the definition, I think it's of allowance. I think there is a typo that's missing there. Okay. Right at the top on page 3, on the definition of allowance. After the word wage, I think we must insert act before the comma. Thanks.
Yes.
Are we in agreement
on that one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, we've noted that, Chairperson. Thank you so much. The amendment that was sent to us for reconsideration, it was in page 3, clause 7, amendment of section 54. Subsection 2 there reads as follows: a copy of the report must be submitted to the Director General for his or her information and the Minister for consideration. So the recommendation was that the document must also be submitted to the Director General for information purposes, Chairperson. That's what we've reflected on this clause.
Are we in agreement, members?
Yes.
Yes. Can you move?
The next one, Chairperson, is on clause 12 of the bill as introduced. Which is on page 5 of the introduced bill in line 49. To omit person and to substitute employee or a worker as defined in section 1 of the National Minimum Wage Act 2018, Chairperson. So if you recall from that meeting, it was proposed that instead of referring to a person, we must be specific and refer to the employee or the worker as defined in the labor relation in the national minimum wage. That's the intention there, Chairperson. Throughout in even the next one, item number 2, in line 51. Your story, Chairperson. The next one is on page 6, in line 3. We omit a person, we also substitute employee. Throughout in that clause, instead of referring to any person, we're referring specifically to the employee or worker as defined in the National Minimum Wage Bill.
Are we in agreement on that one?
We will obviously debate that when we go through the actual piece of this, because we object to the concept. But we're in agreement with the wording, we object to the concept of worker and worker's definition. We believe it shouldn't be submitted at all, and that must just remain employee. But we made that point.
So we agreed on that one.
Mm.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. Next one is on page 6 of the A list. Page 6, clause 16 in the A list. Item number 2 on page 6 of our line 49 to insert the following. And I will read at subsection 3. Which reads as follows: the minister may issue guidelines on the determination of whether a non-compliance is a second or further non-compliance, as envisaged in subsection 2. This one was a suggestion that we get from the honourable member Mashila, that we should be clear in this instance what is it that the minister is going to issue a guideline to assist the persons there under subsection 2. In determining the amount, what they should look at for second or further offences. So they're going to look at, the determination will be made by the minister on that.
Are we in agreement on that one, members?
Yes.
Again,
we will get to that. Thank you.
The last one, Chairperson, is on the same page, page 6. New clause, the transitional provision. We've aligned the wording of paragraph C with the opening word there that reads as follows under section 24. With effect from the date of the establishment of the National Minimum Wage Commission, established by section 8 of the National Minimum Wage Act 2018, and then paragraph C, the term of office of the members of the Employment Conditions Commission lapses with effect from the date of the establishment of the National Minimum Wage Commission. So we've aligned the two.
Do we agree on
that one? Yes, we agree on that one. Is that it?
Yeah, that's all the amendments for
That's all the amendments that we've agreed on that should reflect further. So then we go to the B30. Okay. Can we first have a mover and a seconder for the adoption of the A bill? Honorable Martens is moving, the Honorable Teku is seconding. Thank you. We go now to B30. Close by close. B30. As introduced. Not B30B. B30 is introduced. Remember what we are saying there is we're taking the, as previously members, we are taking the original bill as being introduced and we've effected the A list, the amendments in the A list. BCA B30. Can we proceed then, members? Yes. Are we covered? Then we start with a clause 1 as amended, agreed to. Agreed to, members, unanimously? Agreed to. Clause 2 as amended, agreed to? Unanimously? Agreed to. Clause 3 as amended, agreed to? Unanimously? Honorable Bagram, can you give us the wording there?
We don't believe there should be a minimum number of hours. Thanks.
Yeah. We agree. The DA believes that there shouldn't be minimum hours.
There should not be minimum number of hours.
But we agree.
Is it noted?
Yeah.
Agreed to?
Yeah.
Agreed to. Then there's a new clause. Agreed to?
TM? I thought the rules require that we be given reasons why they object. Does the DA have any reason, sir?
They are objecting on the number of hours.
Yeah, why?
Why? Because if someone does something for you at a traffic light and washes my window, and washing my window, he qualifies as a worker in terms of the definition that was the most spurious definition I've ever read. But the minute he washes my window and I say, here's $10, I've got a real problem because he washes my window every morning, and so I'm not going to pay him 80 rand every morning to wash my window. So I think that's going to destroy employment in the country. I can give you a lot more other examples, but I just thought I'd use the most bottom line one. Thank you.
Okay. So it's agreed to?
Yes.
Agreed to whether provision made by the objection made by the DA? Then there's a new clause after clause 3. Agreed to? You
signed it in your ABO. You've already agreed to that. The new clause agreed to? Agreed to. Unanimously? Agreed to. Clause 4 as amended, agreed to? Unanimously agreed to. Clause 5 as amended, agreed to? Can you give us your wording?
Sure I can. I don't agree with the definition of worker because it includes independent contractors. Thank you.
Do you have it? Can you repeat that, Honourable Begram?
So the definition of worker includes anyone that is entitled to money from a single other person or a company or anything else. So that worker definition is far too wide. It would even include independent contractors. Thank you.
So it's agreed to with that provision made by the DA, that exception, agreed to. Then clause 6, agreed to, unanimously agreed to. Clause 7 as introduced, agreed to. Sorry? Agreed to, unanimously agreed to. Oh, did you raise it?
I did raise my hand.
I didn't see it. Can you proceed then with the wording?
I don't think it should be including the Employment Services Act or the Skills Development. Employment Services. Employment Services Act. No.
What are you now saying, Honourable Begram?
A lot of the work in terms of the Employment Services Act is given to individuals who you're helping out as opposed to actually creating employment for them. And what you're now defining is that that would be a place of work. And any person who provides or provides employment services. Doesn't make sense.
You want to replace with what? The employment services. Oh. We agree with the provision.
So we agree that you indicate that can you give us the wording there?
That should not include Employment Services Act. That's all I have. That of course agreed to the DA object that it should not include.
The reason why? Because, Honourable Begram?
As I said earlier, because people might be giving others employment purely to create employment as opposed to employing them because they need employees.
I don't understand that one now.
Can you repeat that? Mr. Mkalipi?
Can we help members is that what this is doing, it says this will include any person who provide employment services, and the act that defines what employment services is the Employment Services Act. That's the only thing that it does. It takes out the Skills Development Act because the Employment Services Act has taken over that function of the Skills Development and says, and it already defined, passed by Parliament, what employment services is. And then it says, if you provide that kind of work as defined in that section, and it's...
Then what?
Then
your act is employment services.
Yes.
it's a place, this actually a place on which a person provides, a purport to provide any employment service as defined. The only thing that we're doing, this is what is in the Act as presently. The only difference in the Act, it says skill development. Now we're saying employment service, because employment services define employment. Therefore, there's nothing new that has been put on other than just taking out skills and put Employment Service Act, because it defines employment services. And that's the Act that we regulate.
Do you understand now? So now we are in agreement.
Can I send a bill?
He's a mediator.
He can
send me a book.
So take out the objection from the DA then. You understand now? Agreed to unanimously then?
Yes.
Agreed to. Clause 8? As amended, agreed to?
Yes.
Unanimously? Agreed to?
Yes.
Clause 9 as amended, agreed to?
Yes, sir.
Unanimously? Agreed to. Clause 10 as amended, agreed to?
Agreed.
Unanimously? Are we clear?
Yeah.
Can we agree to it unanimously?
Yeah.
Agreed to. Clause 11 as amended, agreed to? Unanimously agreed to. Clause 12 as amended, agreed to? The DA, do you have a wording there? DA is objecting?
You just have a concern, but not a question.
So, are you fine? Can we have your, the DA's view? Agree to unanimously. Agreed to. Clause 13 as amended, agreed to? Unanimously agreed to. Clause 14 as amended, agreed to. Payment of interest, unanimously agreed to. Clause 15 as amended, agreed to. Unanimously agreed to. Clause 16 as amended, agreed to. Clause 16 is not agreed to by the DA. Can you give us the wording why you are not agreeing to it?
We don't like the word fine, first of all, because that criminalizes it. But second of all, we don't believe that it should be of such a nature. Twice the value of the underpayment, there might be reasons, and then twice the employee's monthly wage, there might be reason. There must be left to the adjudicating officer, who will then make a decision. Why actually tie the hands and handcuff the person who's making decisions? This is not a criminal act. It's civil. Thanks.
Do you have the fine, and you don't agree to the twice the employee's monthly wage? Honorable Begram? It's just that Mr. Sakasa didn't capture it.
Apologize to Mr. Sakasa. I'm sorry about that. We don't agree to the terminology because it's criminal in its nature, and we certainly don't agree to tying the hands of the adjudicating officer by saying it must be twice. In fact, the adjudicating officer might make a decision that it's got to be 10 times. So who knows?
Honorable Mashile.
Chair, it is interesting that when the Honorable Bagrain doesn't comply with the rules of the road, that they give him a fine.
That's criminal.
For, that's merely for putting a safety belt. They put they give him a fine.
So do we move forward? We agree to that with the objection of the DA?
Yeah.
Agreed to then. Clause 16 agreed to then. Clause 17 as introduced agreed to? Agreed to unanimously? Can we agree to it? Do we agree to it? Agreed to unanimously. 17. We've agreed 18 then. 18 agreed to as amended.
If I may.
The DA, can you give us the wording why you are not agreeing to it?
It says every trade union representative has the right at the request of an employee to inspect any record kept in terms of this act or the national minimum wage. But that's very open, any trade union representative. We could have had these people that were in here today just marching in and saying, we've had an employee saying we want to have a look and let's have a look. There must be a good reason for them to have a look. And at the end of the day, it can't be any representative. It must be an authorized individual from the trade union. So I don't, yeah. Thank you.
Do we agree on that one? We agree to it on, Mr. Mkalipi?
Again, maybe help honorable members here that the word representative is first in the law presently. That section is not new. That's what the law says, that every representative, when you say representative, it means a union that has been recognized by this company, that has got membership, they have got a relationship with the company, then that union, because it's a representative of the members, has got the right to ask for the information. And it's not a new provision. The only change there is the National Minimum Wage Act 2018. That's the only thing that's been added. That's a present provision that is in the act. But I'm just explaining that the word representativity means that it's not any trade union because you are a trade union. It's because you are a trade union that is recognized, that has got a representativity in that. And the LRA defines what representativity means.
So we agree to that one.
Thank you. A very nice explanation. I'm happy with it. I'm not happy with the current law either. But
no, but the thing is, we can't object to the current law because we're dealing with amendments now. Honorable Mashile?
No, I think we just need to help Honorable Bahrain. The only thing he can object there is the inclusion of National Minimum Wage Act. Whether you agree to it to be included
or not
to the rest of the paragraph.
But that's what I'm saying, it's not a new clause. So you only object the only amendment is the National Minimum Wage Act. That's the amendment. So the rest is irrelevant. If you're not objecting to the National Minimum Wage Act, then you are agreeing. Can we agree then unanimously?
Not agreeing.
Agree unanimously.
But the other section, Chair, the other section that is worried about, which is in the current law, then you can make a member's bill and try and do that.
Can we proceed, members? Clause 19 as intro.
My objection must be noted there.
Sorry?
My objection must be noted.
No, we can't note your objection to what's already in the bill. We are dealing with the amendments. You can bring a private member's bill to rectify those that thing, to amend the bill.
I appreciate the advice and thank you very much for that, and I will eventually do that, but at the moment I'm objecting to this, and I don't believe that every trade union representative
should, in terms of the National Minimum Wage Act, have a right to investigate. I'm objecting to that amendment. So thank you.
So you, Honorable Mashile?
No, it's Honorable Bahrain is actually not understanding what we are doing. We are saying is that if you object, must object to the National Minimum Wage Act being included, that now it forms part of this paragraph. But the section that talks to trade union representative, he can't object now because it is not an amendment. It is, any objection is irrelevant.
But we've noted it.
Then it can't be noted.
We explained it like that. Honorable Begram?
I'm objecting to every trade union representative having a right to look at the National Minimum Wage Act documentation. And I'm objecting to it, and I'll keep objecting to it. If you refuse to write it as an objection, well, there's nothing much I can do, but I will raise it at another level. Thank you.
Okay. DM?
Chairperson, I just want to understand Mr. Bahrain's real point of objection. Are you objecting to every trade union representative? Are you saying maybe there should be some qualification to the trade union representative that has this right? Or as a matter of principle, you don't want trade union representatives to inspect any records kept? Do you want the representative to be qualified, or therefore meaning that you are objecting to the idea of every representative having that right?
Honorable Begram?
Obviously, if we could actually define it more stringently, and then I wouldn't mind them having a look at the National Minimum Wage Act records. But at the moment, I do have an objection to trade union representatives looking at the National Minimum Wage Act amendment records. That's the amendment that you've proposed, that they would have a look at the documents in terms of the National Minimum Wage Act. And I'm objecting to it.
Do you have that wording, Mr. Sakasa?
What is the reasoning? Okay. Do you understand the reasoning?
Okay. What is the reason, Honorable Begram? We've captured what you are saying, that you don't agree to that inclusion of the National Minimum Wage Act. Why?
Because I don't believe that every single trade union representative should come and have a look at the documents at any time, for any reason, at any documents under the National Minimum Wage Act.
That's why I'm asking, Chair, if you allow me. Is Mr. Bahrain opposed to the word every? Or which would mean that he would like the representative to be qualified somehow. Because it says every, he doesn't like the idea of every trade union representative having that right.
Thank you. Through you, Madam Chair, may I respond? Obviously, if it was the trade union organizer at that particular plant or factory or business, then you would know, because otherwise I know in practice what happens is trade union representatives come with dozens of requests all the time to the employers saying, I want to have a look at this, I want to have a look at that, and they spend half their day trying to provide documentation in terms of the current law. Now all you're doing is you're expanding it in terms of the Minimum Wage Act, which means that they'll keep wanting to have a look at all the documents under the Minimum Wage Act. And again, I'm saying if an employer knew that there was one person that was responsible that would then come in and ask if there's a good reason to ask, then it would be obviously open. The documents are open anyway to the department. But to have all and sundry arrive and say, I'm an official, I want to have a look at all the documents in terms of the National Minimum Wage, you could have it every 10 minutes. Thank you.
So if it were to be acceptable, would you agree when it says every authorized trade union representative has the right?
Dean, we can't amend that section. It's already there. The only amendment currently is the National Minimum Wage Act. So either it's in or out. And you agree, majority agree it should be there, and you say it shouldn't be there as the DA. You object to it because you don't believe in that principle. Have you captured it? Are we correct? Honorable Mashile?
Yeah, Chair, I think the understanding is that this particular work or this particular provision currently works in terms of the Basic Conditions of Employment Act.
Yes.
And now with the National Minimum Wage Act, there are elements that apply there that are supposed to be in this one. We agree that not must remain in the National Minimum Wage Act, which we're supposed to put into the Basic Conditions of Employment. Now you have to actually apply also the National Minimum Wage Act together with the basic conditions for these union representatives to be able to do their work. Now I don't understand why then you have a problem with the National Minimum Wage. But let's note it, it's fine.
It's fine, otherwise we agree to it with that amendment from the DA.
Sorry, Chair, to be obstructionist.
Okay.
No, we want to know the reasoning. See, our political parties here. Now, us as the ANC accept that a trade union representative must have that right. But now, we know that we cannot amend that particular clause, as I understand it. But it's important for us to know what the DA says, which is that, as a matter of principle, they don't like the idea of trade union representatives having the right to inspect a record at the request of an employee.
Basic
I think
principle.
That's what has to be on record, that even though we're not in a position to amend that part of the clause, but the DA doesn't like the idea of trade union representatives inspecting records at the request of an employee in terms of the National Minimum Wage Act.
Madam Chair?
I think it's noted.
Madam
Honourable
Chair,
Begram?
It's very good of the Deputy Minister to try and explain what we're saying. But that's not correct. What is correct is that we're very happy for a trade union official who is specifically authorized for that particular business or operation or employer to come in with a good reason as to why they need to see it and to then do it in terms of a proper structure. Not to arrive at 10 o'clock and then another one arrives at 11 o'clock and the third one arrives. I can go on all day. And that unfortunately is happening during wage negotiations at operations. It unfortunately happens all the time, and employers then are falling foul of it. Now we're going to have an extra section where it's going to be all under the national minimum wage. So we very much object to that. But we have no objection to the concept of showing the records for good reason to an individual that is authorized. Thanks.
Point taken, Honourable Member. So close, 18 is then agreed to with that objection from the DA. Clause 19 as introduced, agreed to unanimously. Clause 20, the clause has been rejected. There's now a new clause, agreed to. Clause 20, agreed to unanimously. Agreed to. Clause 21 as amended, agreed to. Unanimously agreed to. And also the long title, agreed to. Unanimously agreed to. Do we then? I now pose to you, Honourable Members, the entire bill with the amendments and the objectives. And objections from the DA. Can we have a mover and a seconder? Honorable Korai. Honorable Korai is moving. Do we have a seconder? Honorable Tongwani is seconding. There we have it, Honorable Members. Thank you. Okay, we're moving to the National Minimum Wage Bill. B-31A and B-31 as introduced. B-31 as introduced and B-31A. Can we request legal to take us through the amendments? Thank you, Chair. Portfolio Committee Amendments to National Minimum Wage Bill, Bill 31 of 2017, as agreed to by the Portfolio Committee on Labour. Page 2. In terms of Clause 1, Chair, there were no further changes. All the changes that reflected on our draft version of the ABLE were accepted and therefore remain the same. Clause 3, Chair, no further changes. The change reflected there was accepted by the PC in the last meeting. Clause 4, Chair, there is a substantial change in Clause 4. This change, Chair, is to provide for the phasing in of the national minimum wage for domestic and farm workers, as well as to cover the EWP workers. Members will recall that in the gazetted version of the bill, in the long title, it referred to transitional provisions in respect of domestic workers and farm workers. However, no such transitional provisions actually appeared in the content of the bill. Clause 1 on page, clause 4.1 on page 5 in line 4, to omit the word the and to substitute subject to subsections 2 and 3, the. Point 2 on page 5 after line 5 to insert the following new subsections. 2A, the Commission must, within 18 months of the commencement of this Act, conduct a review of the national minimum wage contemplated in item 2A and B of Schedule 1. 1. In accordance with the process contemplated in Section 6, and 2. Taking into account the goals contemplated in Section 7A and the factors listed in Section 7B. Make recommendations to the Minister on the adjustment of the national minimum wage contemplated in item 2A and B of Schedule 1, which recommendations must, subject to the findings of the review contemplated in this paragraph, reflect an adjustment that is equivalent to the national minimum wage contemplated in item 1 of Schedule 1, or as close to that amount as the Commission's findings allow. The Minister must, within 2 years of the commencement of this Act, and taking the recommendations of the Commission into account, determine an adjustment of the national minimum wage contemplated in item 2A and B of Schedule 1 in accordance with the process contemplated in Section 6. New subsection 3, the national minimum wage in respect of workers in the Extended Public Works Program as contemplated in item 2C of Schedule 1 must be increased proportionally to any adjustment of the national minimum wage as contemplated in Section 6. Then point 3, on page 5 in line 12, after the word agreement, to insert the word sectoral determination. Chair, the purpose of that was to indicate that a sectoral determination can never provide for a wage that is lower than the national minimum wage. Members can just indicate if they are satisfied with the changes in Clause 4. There we have it, members, in Clause 4, as we've requested the drafters to redraft it. Are we satisfied with that? We know that that was our concerns that were raised, and we asked them to find the wordings how to insert it. We are in agreement, agreed to?
Yes.
Thank you. You can proceed.
Thank you, Chair. Clause 5. Two new changes on page 5 in both line 20C 7 and 28, we've added at the end of those provisions, unless specified otherwise in a sectoral determination. Chair, this change deals with the calculation of a wage. Members will recall that when calculating what the national minimum wage is, there are certain exclusions. A and B list those exclusions. What we've provided now is that a sectoral determination can vary that. So you may have a sectoral determination that says that in calculating the national minimum wage, you can have a portion for accommodation, equipment, food, transport, or such items. Of course, that does not mean it can go below the national minimum wage. A sectoral determination will always have to be at the level of the national minimum wage or higher. 3.3 and 0.4 were as per our last version of the A-list. On page 5, there was an error. We've had to insert the word national before the words minimum wage. So that is just a technical correction. And then on 0.6, on page 5, after line 34, we've inserted a new subsection which was taken from the Basic Conditions of Employment Amendment Bill and inserted in this bill. It reads as follows. Any deduction made from the remuneration of a worker must be in accordance with Section 34 of the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, provided that a deduction made in terms of Section 34(1)(a) of the Basic Conditions of Employment Act does not exceed one quarter of a worker's remuneration. So it is the same concept as previously agreed to by the committee. It's just been transported into this bill instead of the Basic Conditions of Employment Amendment Bill. If members can indicate if they're satisfied with the changes in Clause 5.
Those are the changes, members. Do we agree? Are we satisfied? We know it was an area of concern. Is the wording correct for us there? Agree? Agreed to. Thank you. You may proceed.
Thank you, Chair. In Clause 6, Item 1 remains the same. 2 remains the same. In Number 3, Chair, there's a substitution on page 5 in line 42 to omit the words by 31 October of each year and to substitute that with the wording on a date fixed by the President by proclamation in the Gazette. This was to remove the specific date. Point 4 remains the same. Point 5 remains the same. Point 6 remains the same. On point 7, there is a new amendment. On page 5, from line 53, to omit subsection 7 and substitute it with the following subsection. The Minister must, within 7 days of the publication of the amended schedules in the Gazette, table the amended schedules 1 and 2 in Parliament and publish the final report of the Commission in a prescribed manner. Members will recall that Honourable Mashile indicated that we should change National Assembly to Parliament for the tabling and that the final report of the Commission should also be published. So that caters for those two comments. Thank you, Chair. On that clause.
Are we in agreement, members?
Yes.
Chair, clause 9, point 1 and 2 were as agreed to in the previous meeting. There were no further changes there. Clause 10, point 1, 2 and 3 were agreed to at the last meeting, and so there were no further changes. On clause 11, point 1 and 2 were agreed to at the last meeting. On point 3, there is a further change on page 7 after line 12 to insert the following paragraphs. Point F and G were previously agreed to. H is the new amendment, and it says that the Commission will perform any such function as may be required of the Commission in terms of any other employment law. This was the catch-all phrase to cover any hanging matters that may have emanated from the Basic Conditions of Employment Act duties, because all of those duties were transferred to the National Minimum Wage Commission. So it just to capture that, Chair.
The Employment Commission. Okay. Are we in agreement, members?
Yes.
You can proceed.
Chair, in Clause 13, 14, 15, And 16, there were no changes and they remained the same as per the previous draft version of the A list. In clause 17, there's one change. Point 1, on page 8 in line 17, to omit the year 2017 and to substitute it with 2018. In schedule 1 and the long title chair, there were no changes that emanated.
Are we in agreement, members, that those are the amendments that we wanted to be affected last week? Do Honorable Begram?
Thanks. Do we have a document where it marries those amendments into the National Minimum Wage Bill? Because I don't have that document. Or should just give me a document which is still the old one.
B31B, Chief.
B31B?
Yes.
I don't think I've got that. And I know what you're saying, I just don't have it. B31B. That's the one. B31B. Have you got one? B31B. Okay, now he hasn't got it.
Can we proceed now?
Yeah.
Okay. Because we've already dealt with the amendments and we proceeding. Can we then have a mover and a seconder for those amendments?
Yeah.
Honorable Korai is moving to Honorable Martin to seconding. Honorable Begram? Your mic is on.
B31B.
Your mic is on?
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Thank you. So we have all the documents now in front of us. We're going now to the clause by clause members. Where we'll refer to the B31 as introduced bill, not B31B. With the amendments as prescribed in B31A. Do we have it like that, members? Can we then move clause by clause? Clause 1, as amended, agreed to. Honorable majority agreed to Honorable Begram. Can you give us wording why you're not agreeing to that one?
Under the definition clause, I'm just objecting to the worker as opposed to an not as the definition clause. We're talking about the definition clause. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, we are referring to that. The amended is the definition of worker. The last definition, as amended, agreed to.
No.
Can you get the reasons why you are opposing that, Honorable Begram?
Sure. Again, worker is too wide a definition, and it includes independent contractors or someone that you have asked to do something in particular, and you're going to give some payment for it. Thank you. It should be substituted with the word employee and not worker.
Are we then in agreement on that clause agreed to with the exception from the DA?
Yes,
agreed to. Clause 2 as introduced, agreed to. Agreed to unanimously. There were no amendments on that one. Clause 3 as amended, agreed to. Unanimously agreed to?
It's worker again.
Clause 3? As amended, agreed to?
Honourable Begram?
No, we don't agree because the worker comes into it again.
Can we use the same reason as previously? Agreed to? Agreed to. Clause 4 as amended, agreed to?
No.
Clause 4 as amended, agreed to? Honourable Begram, can you give us the reason?
Sure, as the worker again. You can substitute it with employee.
Okay, it's the same exception for reject or... Yeah, wherever you find worker, you just indicate the objection of the DA with the same explanation, but you must indicate it clause by clause. So otherwise, it's agreed to with the objection from the DA. Clause 5 as amended, agreed to?
No.
Honorable Teko? Remember, the amendment does not reflect in B31. It's the introduced bill. So they are not, the amendments will be reflected in 31A. Yeah. So do we agree with that legal? Can we get the direction? Okay, it is covered. Okay. It is covered, agreed to? Unanimously agreed to? Okay. With that objection from the DA, the issue of the worker, otherwise it's agreed to. Clause 6, as amended, agreed to? You must indicate, Honorable Begram, where you see worker. I don't see a worker there. Okay, unanimously agreed to then? Agreed to. Clause 7 is introduced, agreed to? Agreed to unanimously. Clause 8 as introduced, agreed to?
No, we object. We don't agree to clause 8.
Clause 8.
Yeah, we
as
believe
introduced.
That. Okay. No, the commission is fine, we agree. Clause 9, I hate it.
Okay. Clause 8 then, agreed to unanimously. Clause 9 as amended, agreed to?
No, not quite, Madam Chair. We believed that the commission must consist of independent persons not associated with government or workers or trade unions, experts from, or employers for that matter, completely independent, not associated with any parties that may have an interest in the outcome of their deliberations. That's the basis of our objection, not as it is sort of suggested in this act.
Did you capture that, Mr. Sakasa? Okay. So,
in social dialogue and things like that. Does the DA believe in social dialogue in the concept underpinning, in the principle underpinning NEDLAC?
Deputy Minister, the social dialogue takes place in NEDLAC. It doesn't necessarily take place in the National Wage Minimum Wage Commission. And I'm sure that interaction will engage the social partners within NEDLAC as well.
May I also answer the Deputy Minister? Thank you for the question. Social dialogue does actually take place in NEDLAC to a degree, but you must understand that certain people are not around the table. It's like seven wolves and a sheep debating what to have for lunch. We had Saftu here today, I don't know if you recall, who are unhappy about not being part of NEDLAC, and I don't want to go into the whole debate, but we don't even believe that the unemployed are represented there. So again, we believe very strongly that this commission should be independent completely of any of the parties involved. Employers have a very strong interest in keeping that minimum wage at a certain level, and so do employees.
Thank you, Honourable Begram.
I'll give him all
point
the reason.
Taken. Yes. So then we agree on clause 9 with the objection from the DA.
Yes.
Clause 10 as amended. Agreed to?
Agreed.
Honourable Begram?
So what does serious misconduct mean in clause 10? 10.4.C.1.
Serious misconduct.
The other thing is, who does the removing? The minister herself.
Yes.
Okay, it's fine. Can you just state your reasons why you're objecting?
We object because the minister can just remove willy-nilly and call that serious misconduct. And we don't believe it. We don't believe it's possible that she can just remove people.
State law advisor.
Chair, maybe to assist the honourable member Bagrat. The provision here says that termination of appointment may be effected in the following manner, subject to due process of law. The removal of the member from the office by the minister, which means that the minister will have to effect due process, which means that the other side will be heard, there will be witnesses, practically. So the minister will not willy-nilly dismiss a person. The law is here, it is subject to due process of law. And serious misconduct is why it may be assaulting a person or fraud. And on the sorry, well, that is my opinion, Chair. Thank you very much.
Can we refrain from venturing into those areas now? We are clear on that. We are not here to open the deliberations again. We had the opportunity to ask clarity seeking questions. So let's refrain from going there again. In this instance, the objection of the DA is noted and they've indicated their reasons. Is it only on the minister having the power to remove?
No.
And sorry, thank you. Not just that, that's one of them. Mm-hmm. And obviously on the serious misconduct.
What about the serious misconduct?
Well, I don't know what it means. Thanks. And so we object to it. It should be more defined more properly, because if someone was rude to the minister, that might be serious misconduct. And I don't believe it is.
So it's actually a matter of interpretation. Honourable Mashile?
No, Chair, the thing is that with me is the objection of Bahrain is on a perception that it may not be applied correctly. I will be saying to him is that me and him, when the regulations comes here, will look at the regulations. How do they define this serious misconduct? How have they actually expanded on it? What will they recognize as a serious misconduct? So we just have to watch the regulations when they come. But we don't really need to make bones about it now.
Thank you, Honorable Mashila. So we take note of the objection of the DA in that one. Otherwise, it's agreed to. Clause 11 as amended, agreed to? Agreed to? Unanimously. Clause 12 as introduced, agreed to? Agreed to unanimously. Clause 13 as amended, agreed to? Agreed to unanimously. Clause 14 as amended, agreed to? Agreed. Honorable Begum, you have an objection?
Thank you, Madam Chair. We had suggested that the Commission should have its own funding and not through the Department. And then otherwise it becomes completely beholden to the department and the minister, and we strongly believe they must have their own funding. Thanks.
Mr. Mkhulupi, can you just give us an explanation again there?
I understand that the issue here, I mean, we debated this issue the last time, and we took a decision that we're not forming an entity yet. This structure that is within the department, Parliament will vote the department's funds, and in that it will include the funds of the commission, and that was agreed in the last meeting. It was debated in the last meeting. And then if they've got their own budget, they are separate, then you're creating an entity, and then it will take us a very long process to do that. And we said, remember we said the last time, the present ECC operates purely on the same basis. It's within the department, it's independent, it takes its own decisions. The Employment Equity Commission operates on the same basis, independent, it's within the department, it gives a report, nobody tells them what to do.
It's understandable, Mr. Mkhulupi, we've really deliberated a lot on that issue. But, Honorable Begum, can you give us an explanation why you are not agreeing with that one?
Yeah, I did. I'll give it again. If you don't want a commission that is not independent, and money makes people dependent on others, and if they're going to have their own budget separately from the Department of Labor and separately from the minister, then it would be a standalone and they would be completely independent. We did have this debate. I did not agree. The DA did not agree, and it appears that the majority did agree, and I think we're going to have the same debate here again. I think we must agree to disagree.
Point taken, Honorable Begum. We just wanted to note it there. So then we agree on clause 14 with the objection of the DA, agreed to. Clause 15 as amended. Agreed to? Honorable Begum?
We object again because we believe that there must be in the legislation, there must be an outline of the reasons for how the form should be. It can't just all be in regulations, specifically because we don't have the power over the regulations. We're not going to have the power to argue about regulations. At the moment, the regulations for the various exemptions from the bargaining councils are almost impossible to obtain to get an exemption. And I think this is a lot more serious, and people should actually have a proper outline in legislation as to why and the reasons for exemptions, and in fact the reasons what you would put in the forms if you want to do it. I think it should be legislated, and we object to it.
Did you capture that, Mrs. Sakosa? Properly. Thank you. Clause 15. No, that's what I wanted to go on. DM?
Sorry to take you back, sir. We're struggling to understand. I know that it has been attended to, and some explanation has been given by Mr. Mkalito, but I didn't quite follow. In the bill as introduced, in clause 14, the provision seems to support the DA's position, because it says the funds of the commission consist of money appropriated by Parliament and which are subject to audit by the AG in terms of section 188 of the Constitution. Now, am I correct to say this is the position that was agreed on at NEDLAC? And if that is the case, what is the attitude of NEDLAC to the change that was effected by saying the funds will consist of money defrayed from the budget of the vote of the department? I'm conscious of what has been said in the media that we've tended to undermine the position of NEDLAC, and that accusation has been leveled at the department in certain instances. So I'm saying the portfolio committee itself, is it take into cognizance the fact that this was an agreement that was reached at NEDLAC? I understand the reasoning that is emanating here, that we are not setting up a new Chapter 9 institution. But the point is that, what about the fact that it was agreed to at NEDLAC? What are we saying as a portfolio committee to that fact?
Can I get a clarification there?
If you look at the NEDLAC Act, what was agreed at NEDLAC is that you must have a commission that is able to operate independently, that has got the capacity, the financial capacity and the staff to do its job. That's the principle agreed at NEDLAC. In trying to include that in the law, we put what we put in the bill submitted. In the discussion with both the state law advisor and the parliamentary advisor, then it came out that you cannot have that unless you have an independent entity. And as a result of that, without taking away the fact that the entity has got to have enough funding and enough resources to operate, we were in the debate in the committee caught with this, that if we want to have what we put in the law as it is, as introduced, then it means that you must have an entity. If we've got to do that, then we're not going to be able to have the commission for that. And that, those are the reality that we're facing, us and all of the committee when it was debated. And as a reason of that, after the debate, the drafters, state law advisors, us and the state parliamentary legal officers were asked to factor that into, and that's the result of what was accepted then in the last meeting. This formulation is on the same basis as the ECC formulation. It doesn't take away the independence and the providing of financial resources.
Are we clear on that, Honourable Members? Honourable Bagan and Honourable Mashile?
Sure, we're clear on it, and I think that we're as clear as the fact that it should be a standalone organisation and should have its own funding. And I think that's what was agreed. My understanding is that was agreed. There must be another way in which we can get funding, maybe if it's not going to be a standalone organisation, some other way. But at the moment, it's completely beholden to the Department of Labour, who is beholden to the minister. And I think you're not going to have an independent organization by definition. It can't be. If you get your money from A, you can't then be completely independent of A. And I think that's why, although I wasn't at the deliberations, I think that's why they said that they wanted something completely independent. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Baker. Honorable Mashile.
Chairperson, I think we just need to understand certain things. I may not be 100% correct, I stand to be assisted. We are the lawmakers. Any other person outside us is assisting us. We are the lawmakers. You see, if we are going to have a situation where NEDLAC can hold on a position and say we have agreed 100%, this is what must happen, then it may end up reducing us to rubber stampers. Then they can as well produce the legislation on their own. All what it is happening is that my understanding is that they are a forum that facilitate dialogue and consultation, so that when the bill comes here, at least they have covered a lot of miles in sort of the final product that has to come out. But at the end of the day is that this document, when it comes out of our hands here, it's not going to be said that it's legislation of NEDLAC. It's legislation of Parliament. And Parliament is represented by us. And therefore, this part here, it has got an element of structuring government. Of structuring the government way of working. If then you come up with an independent commission, then there are consequences for that. And but what we are now, the amendment that we are making here, we are actually bringing in the administration of this commission within the department. But the commissioners themselves are independent. We're talking about independent commissioners. But the commission is a component of the department on its own. That's what the amendment that we have brought in. And we're not talking about the commissioners themselves. So the commissioners themselves, clean, we have defined them. They must act independently and without prejudice, all sorts of things. But as a whole, the component, as a whole, it's a component of the department. And that's why the department is bound to provide secretariat work to that commission. And that's why its product as well. It's not going to be a product that is just given outside for people to do whatever they want. The minister must use it to make a determination in terms of the power that the minister has. So the likelihood, the thing is that we must just find a way of explaining ourselves. Is that what will then be the challenges of putting an independent commission, creating a Chapter 9 institution, and all that, and what other people call it, agencification of government, that we split government into small little independent institutions that the government itself at the end of the day failed to administer this. And I think that is, but in the main, all what I wanted to say is that at the end of the day, this law is going to be our product. And we should be able to account for it.
DM?
Thank you very much. Now, that's exactly what I wanted. So that it is clear that that is the decision of the Portfolio Committee and not that of the Department of Labor. So that it ends up being accused of undermining the decision of NEDLAC, as has been happening, especially in the media. So that explanation then covers my concern that it is a considered decision of the Portfolio Committee, not something coming from the Department of Labor.
Are we then in agreement, Honourable Members?
Yes.
Honourable Begram?
Obviously subject to our disagreement. And I just wanted to note that NEDLAC is a toy telephone. Thank you.
We disregard that last comment. Thank you. Agreed to. Clause 16. As amended. Agreed to, Honourable Begram?
Subject to, and I'm still not entirely sure, when it says at the end of Clause 5, 16.5, that the Minister must table the regulations of Parliament, from what I understood is that table means debate and subject to Parliament changing the regulations. Am I correct? Because if I'm not correct, then I object to that.
Can you repeat that one, Honourable Begram? We're just trying to find the right space.
Thank you, yes, I can tell you again. It's under Clause 16, under Chapter 4, Clause 16, 16.5, where it says the Minister must table the regulations. You will have noted that at Clause 15, I objected to the exemption process and that I wanted it more carefully outlined. And here, this is merely going into the exemption process again. From what I understand, we had a debate about this before, and I was in the minority there as well, where I had said that I wanted to have the exemption process more carefully defined in the legislation so that there couldn't be regulations that make it impossible or make it too easy to apply for exemptions. Because it could go either way. From what I understand, the trade unions might say it's now much too easy to apply for exemptions, and the employer might say it's much too difficult. And what I was hoping is that we would see more of an outline. We did at least say the minister must table the regulations, but I think that's purely a process of here it is, leave it or love it, but I'm not changing it. And so I'm objecting to that, and that I was hoping to see more flesh into the legislation as to the exemption. But it's the same objection I had to Clause 15. Thank you.
So we agree that we, in principle, we agree to, with the exception of the Democratic Alliance. Honourable Mashila.
Chair, I think we are just simply suffering because of the lack of knowledge of how these things operate. Because we have tried to explain right at the beginning. What happens, Chair, is that when they tabled the regulations, the Speaker is going to refer those regulations to this committee. It's an obvious thing. That's how it works. And when they have arrived at this committee, we will take a decision whether we want to engage the department on the regulations or not. If we are happy, we are happy. If wherever the regulations are not talking to a provision in the main act, we'll have an engagement with the department and say, what is it that you are regulating? Because this provision doesn't say the things that you are saying. If the regulations is actually misrepresenting the principal act, we will engage the department and show them that they are regulating something that it is not meant by the act. That will be our job here. And therefore, that's why I don't know what is still left to Honorable Bahrain that is having such a serious phobia with regulations.
No, we've dealt with that matter extensively over and over again, and therefore we agree to that section or that Clause 16 with the objection of the DA. Clause 17, as amended. Agreed to? Agreed to. Then Schedule 1 as amended? Agreed to? The DA?
Well, here we talk about workers again.
Yeah, we note the issue of the workers.
And EPWP must be, governments can afford to pay workers. They can't tell the private sector they must pay workers the full amounts, and they can only pay 11 rand per hour. That's an absolute disgrace.
Yeah, that's so. We agree on that explanation. Mr. Sapasa, did you catch it? Worker in EPWP. Okay. Do we then agree with the objection of the DA? Then the long title is amended. Members? Long title is amended. Agreed to? Unanimously agreed to. Now I put before you, honourable members, the bill has introduced the National Minimum Wage Bill, B31, as introduced with the amendments. Can we have a mover and a seconder? The honourable Korai is moving. The honourable America, are you seconding? Honourable Martins is seconding. Martins is seconding.
Madam Chair,
Honourable America wants to say something.
It is.
Okay. Just having my small meeting here. Honorable America, I've noted you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't know if you've concluded the matter. You asked for a proposer and a seconder, and then you proceeded with Mr. Sakasa. We haven't voted on it. You haven't asked that we've adopted it. But in the event of you doing so, it is on the proviso that we have raised our objection to those certain clauses as outlined earlier.
Now, we take that into consideration. That is the majority view that is agreed to, but we take note of the objections to certain clause from the Democratic Alliance, and that's with that proviso. Honourable Mashile?
Yeah, Chairperson, I think is that the honourable members from DA, they still have an opportunity in the House when you debate this act. Yeah. Then they can raise all sorts of things in the world. And then I thought that Honorable America was going to thank us for having completed this particular work. And unfortunately, did not do so. Then we'll just await it from the chair. But let me also ask chair again that we never tried to track the memorandum. The memorandum that explains these bills, all three of them. Then I just wanted to really request again that our drafters, the other side, and the legal services, if they could assist us that they have amended the memorandum to talk to the final version of our bills. Mm-hmm. Because we have not tracked that, whether they made amendments and as we change here and there and we cancel certain things. If they can just simply save us from embarrassment by just double-checking that the memorandum talked to the final version of the bills. Thank you, Chair.
That's noted, Honourable Member. Then our last point on our agenda for today is the adoption of the draft reports on the Labour bills currently before the committee, and it's the three bills that we have. We are looking at the reports. Are we going to adopt it now, honourable members? Because if you look at the time, so we agree that we're doing going to do it now. What's going to happen, honourable members? We remember that we requested all those objected clauses that there should be reasons provided. It's because when we go to the report, then we'll indicate clause by clause those that have been objected to. Generally, the bills would be approved or agreed to, but then we indicate the objection and the reasons why. And we've noted it down and we've verified with the DA those objections. So what's now going to happen is Mr. Sakasa does have the skeleton in terms of the adoption, but then we just note the reasons for the objections within that. That's not...
We can't do that now, then are we merely going through that again? Yeah. Well, I don't understand.
Honorable Teko?
We can adopt now, Chair, or I can request that between plenaries we can have a meeting and come and adopt it today.
Can if the members are not comfortable seeing that they don't have something physically in their hands, we know that we're having a plenary at 10 o'clock on Friday. Can't we make the special provision or request to meet from 8:30 to 9:30, and then we can come and adopt those reports, 8:30 to 9:30. Because the plenary is starting at 10 and all of us will be present, will be there. Can we have a Honorable America?
Thank you, Madam Chair. My colleague will not be able to make it, but what I would suggest is that we can prepare the final report. It can be mailed to us and then we can, by virtue of electronic means, send our responses to you and then that can be considered as an adoption of the report.
No. What we need to do, honourable members, we can affect the changes, send it to us electronically. If we feel there's still some changes that need to make, we can make the amendments, but we have to meet physically, for even if it's that half an hour, to adopt it. It must be physically done. And if we have one representative for the DA, it's fine. Because
then... make it for 9 o'clock then.
Sorry?
We make it for 9 o'clock then.
Yeah, 9 o'clock.
We'll get it emailed to us beforehand.
Yeah, as soon as it's effected, it's going to... we receive it. And then we meet at 9, and then we effect it. Are we in agreement on that one? Okay, then it's an agreement. We meet, our next meeting for the adoption of the reports will be at 9 o'clock on Friday, this coming Friday. And with those, I want to thank the honorable members for their inputs, also the department, the legal advisor, the state law advisors, and the staff present for their contributions, and a very special thanks to our Deputy Minister for his assistance and his contributions today, and we adjourn this meeting accordingly. Thank you.
And the DG and the Democratic Alliance. Thank you.
And the Jefferson is commending you for your courage in the face of adversity from SAF too. Except for those who ran away.
It was a little of running away from running away from people. I think if you can struggle to get G20 on Friday, so that you are going to be out.